Hello and welcome to On Mission, a podcast from the Catholic Apostolate Center. My name is Chris Pierno, and I'm joined on the podcast today by Father Frank Donio and Kate Fowler, and we'll be discussing marriage, or marriage. So we have discussed many topics over so many episodes. I think we're quickly approaching some milestone, which is we're approaching 100.
This is episode 97.
We're
getting very close. Yes.
Yeah, and so over those, you know, almost 100 episodes, we have certainly touched on a variety of topics. This idea, we explored the sacrament of baptism in one of our episodes, and I think it dawned on us that we had not discussed the sacrament of marriage. And so we wanted to do that on this particular episode. Kate and I obviously have some experience in that, but Father has a multitude of experience prepping couples. Father, do you have any idea how many couples you have prepped at this point?
In 29 years? No, I don't. I have one priest friend who is really good at this, and he will keep the statistics. He will post and about their and offer them all their anniversary. I guess I'm kind of weak and sad when it comes to that, but it's always a truly tremendous experience to journey with couples as they prepare for marriage, and then the celebration of the sacrament itself, and then being many times also connected with them as their marriages grow and be fruitful in the bearing of children, or adopting children, or being a fruitfulness that occurs in other ways as well. So yeah, it's really wonderful to see.
I think it's important, you know, sometimes I think people say, what do priests know about marriage? Da, 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 da. And I think you know a lot. I think it's important at the top of it to say, you know, and certainly, full disclosure, Father has prepped my wife and I for marriage, and it was wonderful. So I think that's a good place to start. I mean, when a couple has to, you know, wants to pursue marriage, and certainly within the Catholic Church, you know, the preparation of marriage is a requirement to move forward, is it not?
It is. It is a requirement. And that's something that sometimes people who are not Catholic and are marrying a Catholic sometimes don't understand. And they say, well, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to meet with this priest? Or why do we have to go to these sessions and so forth, or this program? And really, the Church and continues to look at what are the ways in which we can accompany. We've talked a lot about accompanying. What are the ways in which we can accompany people in their particular movement forward in life as a married couple? So it's very much an opportunity for the Church to walk with the couple and to, as they journey to the sacrament of marriage. And now, even in the pastoral framework for marriage and family that the U.S. bishops have put out, they really encourage, and now even more so, the Church Universal has been talking about journeying with people and accompanying people, certainly after the marriage. And in different ways, and as different issues come up.
Why, Father, is marriage a sacrament in the Catholic Church?
Well, as with all sacraments, it was instituted by Christ Now, it's important to see this in the connection of the covenant that God makes, that God has made with his people, and that Jesus is the new covenant and offers this new covenant, Jesus Christ in Christ. So in the sacrament of matrimony, in the rite, it talks about, you know, indeed the Lord, the Christ the Lord, making a new creation and making all things new, has willed that marriage be restored to its primordial form and holiness in such a way that what God has joined together, no one may put asunder, and raise this indissoluble conjugal contract. Each of those words are very important, to the dignity of a sacrament, so that it might signify more clearly and represent more easily the model of his own nuptial covenant with the church. Because you'll hear this, that Christ's bride is the church. And then it goes on to say, by his presence, Christ brought blessing and joy to the wedding at Cana, where he changed water into wine, and so foreshadowed the hour of the new and eternal covenant. So this is, you know, this covenant, and then we continue with this understanding of the spouse, church is the spouse. For just as of old, God made himself present to his people with a covenant of love and fidelity, so now the Savior of the human race offers himself to the church as spouse, fulfilling his covenant with her in his paschal mystery. It's very beautiful, and therefore, so it continues on, by the sacrament of matrimony, Christian spouses signify and participate in the mystery of unity and fruitful love between Christ and the church. So you see all that interconnection. You know, people, it's not just simply, oh, I choose you, you choose me, and we make this contract. It's all connected to Christ and the church in a very beautiful and mystical way that is different than just simply contracting marriage. And so, although one thing that is important to note is that the church, for people who are not baptized or two who are baptized, they will see that if two are baptized, that bond is truly a bond. You know, and even for the non-baptized, this is why people will get confused. Well, why do I need an annulment? I wasn't married in the church. It's because the church recognizes the importance of this bond. Now, we're not talking about a civil one, but there was some type of ceremony that brought this about. In fact, it would be with non-Christians, even the civil would be seen in that way. So that there was some exchange, because it's the couple. One of the key things is it's the couple who is making the marriage. Christ, the priest or the deacon, is the official witness.
Right.
Very different from all the other sacraments.
Yeah, that's a key thing, and that was something that I remember specifically discussing in our prep, that it never really occurred to me until that point that the ministers of the sacrament are the couple, not the priest or the deacon. So it's so interesting that you're right. It's the change is occurring between the couple. Right. And it's not. And whereas the rest of the other sacraments, there's something being the priest or the deacon, right, is necessary for, I mean, necessary for this, but in a different way. Right. And it's, I think it further just brings to bear the importance, the tremendous capacity. Everything that's happening is so focused on the binding of these two people and the couple in it, it's just more than it seems, right? It's not just even just the description of that and just knowing that by it's the couple itself that is essential to this. It's not, oh, we need to do this. We need to put, go to it's, but it's, you're doing it. The two of you are doing it. And, I don't know. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it because I think it's hard to explain.
It is, but I think that the little, and I'm sorry to read so much, but I think it's important from in the celebration matrimony, right before these questions about consent, which are critically important before you exchange vows, what the church uses for the priest to address the couple is, "Dearly beloved, you have come here together into the house of the church, so that in the presence of the church's minister and the community, your intention to enter into marriage may be strengthened by the Lord with a sacred seal." Mm. So that you're coming either with the priest or the deacon. "Christ abundantly blesses the love that binds you." So it's the love that's binding you. "Through a special sacrament, he enriches and strengthens those he has already consecrated by holy baptism, that they may be faithful to each other forever and assume all the responsibilities of married life." And so, you know, you have these pieces that are really coming together, that this sacrament is meant to enrich the couple in a beautiful way.
And it's amazing that through marriage, a couple is also being called to participate in that divine love of Christ and to show that to the world. It's another way in which the Lord reveals himself to mankind through this example that a husband and wife are striving for, this life of exclusive fidelity, this lifelong commitment to honor and love one another in exactly what we say in our vows, in sickness and health, in good times and bad. In times of wealth and in times of, you know, hardship and struggle. And so it really is beautiful that through the sacraments, like, the Lord is elevating us and giving us this beautiful dignity of, like, you are my representatives on earth and your marriage is going to show the world something about God's love. And so as Catholics, you know, I hope that we take that call very seriously, because it can be such a beautiful, beautiful witness to the world. You know, a thriving and happy marriage, even if it's filled with ups and downs and crosses and difficulties, that always speaks so beautifully to a world that can really be hurting, especially when so many marriages have ended in divorce and separation. And, many people see a lot of unhealthy families and marriages. And so when they see a beautiful and marriage that's really committed and committed to growing and loving and serving, that is such a witness to the world. That's, you know, almost like a living gospel to the world. And so it really is a beautiful responsibility.
The sacrament itself, you know, can take place within the context of the Mass, but it can also happen just on its own. And I think whichever route a couple is intending to go, it is one of those moments where you have people there to celebrate the couple that from any type of background, and they have no idea where they are in their situation in their faith life or life in general. And this is one of those opportunities where people are being introduced in some ways to your faith, the faith of the couple. And it's such an interesting moment of evangelization. I was thinking about when you were discussing and describing that, Kate, we often talk about, you know, baptisms and funerals, you know, and marriage is certainly one of the other ones where you have bring all these people together. The couple is doing this because they believe it's important, that it's important to them, and their faith is important to them, and they are showing the world that what they believe. And I think that it's just such a, I know that for us, when my wife and I got married, that was very much part of our decision-making process in choosing the readings, the who was going to do what, and you know, the music and the, even the location and whatever. And that's such a special part of it, as a couple gets to sort of show the world, you know, the beauty of our faith.
I will say, if this is sounding a little overwhelming, whether you're married or discerning marriage, what is so reassuring is that because marriage is a sacrament, God is continually pouring out his grace upon that and upon you and your relationship. And so just know that, like, God knows this is a tall order. It is hard. It is a really, you're making some really intense commitments and vows when you say, you know, I will love and honor you in sickness, health for the rest of my life or my days. But so just know that, like, the Lord is so generous and in his grace. And a beautiful scripture that we can turn to is the wedding feast at Cana, which is where we really see Christ present at a wedding celebration, not only as a guest, but someone who is changing and blessing the outcome of that marriage. As we all know, the wine runs out. And I think many people that have been married for more than a few years can say, oh, yeah, there have been times when my wine has run out. Like, Lord, give me more wine. Like, the Lord does not just say, like, here's another glass or here's another round on me. But when he transforms the water into wine, he made so much extra that it was, like, pretty much impossible for the attendants of the wedding guests, to even try to consume. Father, do you remember exactly, like, quantifiably? It's like these, like, 12 jars, right? Like, it's huge. I've read more into it, and, like, historically, it was just this, like, incredibly extravagant amount.
It was these huge earthen jars. And, you know, and they're filled with water, and then they're suddenly wine, and the best of wine.
Yes.
That's the other part, exactly, of it. They're the best of wine.
Absolutely.
And really, when we look at the ends of marriage, what's the reason for marriage, and what does the church teach about marriage? It's for the good of the couple and also for the procreation of children. And so that this couple, it has come together, and that begins the family, and then the fruitfulness of that is children, and the openness to children. But the good of the couple is also critically important, and the grace of the sacrament that's given when in those difficult times and in those good times, to cooperate. Talk about cooperating with grace. Well, it's important to cooperate with the grace of the sacrament of marriage for those who are married, because that's real. That's not just, oh, we just say that. That's real when there is this marital bond that is really meant to be indissoluble. It's till death do us part. And I think that shows up in the way in which the church even asks questions before the vows, where, you know, are you freely coming here? Will you love and honor each other for as long as you live? And are you prepared to accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? And if anybody says that they're not going to do that, you can't continue on with the ceremony, because this is critically important to be able to give each other over fully as the vows. If it's your intention to enter the covenant of holy matrimony, join your right hands and declare your consent before God and his church. And then we have the vows, which I want to get into a little later. Around what the vows are saying. But I think it's really preparing people in the ceremony itself for the rest of life. And the vows themselves, you know, I take you to be my wife, my husband. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. That's a tall order. That's not exactly easy to do day in and day out. That's, again, the grace of the sacrament that Christ pours out to help us, to help you and anyone else who is married. I have the sacrament of orders to be able to, of holy orders, to be able to have the grace to be able to do what I'm supposed to be doing as a priest. So mm-hmm. that this is why Christ has instituted these particular sacraments.
Mm-hmm. And ways that we cooperate with God's grace through the sacraments, ways that we can be more open to God's grace, definitely include prayer with and for our spouse, praying together as a couple, but then also saying, like, I pray for my spouse, bless my spouse, and really inviting God into that relationship daily and asking for his help. I mean, again, God created marriage and family, and we see the first marriage right in Genesis with Adam and Eve. And so it really is a beautiful part of God's plan. And after the fall, it really is a beautiful way of helping restore humanity, because like nothing else is going to call somebody to such like selflessness day in and day out as marriage and family. And in your case, Father, as your priesthood, it's when we're saying yes to these sacraments, like the Lord is really using them as a way to transform us and to help us to grow in holiness. And so a lot of couples say, like, you are my path to sanctity. You are my path to heaven. And our job as husband and wife is to get each other there, to get our kids there, and as many of our friends and family as possible. So it really, really is beautiful. And so those are just a couple of ideas for really opening yourself to God's grace, which he is wanting to pour out on your marriage continually.
Sometimes people's eyes will widen when I'm doing marriage preparation. You know, you're going to be co-responsible for each other's salvation.
Very casual.
Your path, yeah, can just drop.
By the way,
there is this responsibility that mm-hmm. you know, when the two become one, there is this responsibility, really a co-responsibility to grow in holiness, to have one's eye on eternity and decisions. And that's a profound thing and not something to be just taken lightly. And it's not to pour, you know, oh, well, you're just pouring it on, Father. No, it's an opportunity to say, all right, where are we lining up things, which is what Chris was talking about with the ceremony, but also and then choices that come later.
Yeah, I think there's so much pressure in society today or in today's world. There's so much pressure, put on weddings from all sorts of directions, not the least of which can be yourself putting pressure, your own pressure on what is this event going to be and all of the things associated with the more secular pieces of marriage. You know, it's a great day. I have all this planning and da 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 da. And the mass and the sacrament is oftentimes just one part, right, of the larger whole of what is the couple planning. And obviously the church doesn't see it that way. The rest of it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what's occurring there in the church. And I think sometimes it's important to remember that because so often we are consumed by the details and the pieces associated with it that cause so much stress. And yeah, there are some decisions that a couple needs to make with regards to, like I was saying earlier about, you know, what is the message that you particularly want to send? But Father, you were talking about, oh, I'm just pouring it on. But the idea of being responsible for each other, and the fact that all that planning and everything goes into that one day or that one moment, but marriage is a lifetime. And what happens on day two? Will all those people be there on day two? And when it's just you and your spouse, and or day 100, right? Or, you know, year two, or, you know, year 32, you have each other. And that is ultimately the responsibility. That's what you committed to. And, you know, I think it is important to, it is big deal, and it is a process. And, you know, not only the prep associated with the, you know, the immediate prep to marriage, but I think the whole process of it, it's a big decision that has to be made. You have to commit to each other. The church, rightly so, presents you with all of what you're doing right there. And it's so funny. It's so interesting that in the sacrament itself, as we were saying, you know, it's like, the priest is there, so, or the deacon is there laying it out for you. Let me just lay out for you what you're agreeing to before you actually do it. And, you know, if you were to sit there and think about it, wow, oh yeah, that's a lot. But, you know, I think that's why it's important, as Kate was saying earlier too, the witness of other married couples, and to show each other that what you are about to do, you know, right before you get married, it is possible, and it is, can be done with joy, and it can be done the way that God intended it to be. And it's not a scary thing. I mean, it's scary, but it, you know, you have the whole community of faith behind you. I think it's important for folks to remember that.
Mm-hmm. When we were getting prepped for marriage, the priest that prepared us, his nickname was the Terminator. So I wonder how Father's marriage preparation would compare to his. But he said that people jokingly called him the Terminator because he would ask the hard questions. And he would say, I want to know that you understand what you're getting into before getting into this lifelong commitment. And if there's anything that we need to talk about or whatever, like, we're going to talk about it and we're going to work on it before. And so, yeah, he was jokingly called the Terminator. So luckily we have survived his marriage preparation. But just one other thing that I wanted to say is that marriage, like your vocation, whatever vocation you're called to, is always going to be work. It was always going to require effort. I used to think before getting married that, like, oh, once you've been married for 5 years or once you've been married for 10 or 20 years, you just kind of get into the groove and you can coast in marriage. Like, you've been married for so long, like, you must just, like, put on autopilot because that's, you know, what you're used to. And I've come to find that that's just not the case, because every part of your marriage is dealing with a new component of life. There will always be, you know, either a kid not sleeping, or then thinking about, you know, college, or going through maybe the loss of a loved one or a family member, or maybe even the loss of a job. Like, you both are growing continually and your family dynamic is continually growing. So we are called to be continually growing in our vocation. And since this is about marriage, we're talking about marriage specifically. So it's not like you just have been doing it for so long that you just can, like, check out. It's always going to be work. And like Chris said, it doesn't have to be terrifying. It's good work. It's noble work. It's holy work. It's beautiful work. But it is work, and it does take some intentionality and prayer and just that constant commitment to growth and to being open to God's grace. So I just wanted to add that little note too, as we're talking about this, that, you know, don't think that you're just going to kick your legs up at some point. It is something that we're continually striving to grow in, and yeah.
Well, this wraps up another episode of On Mission from the Catholic Apostolate Center. We have on our website, catholicapostolatecenter.org, a marriage and family resource page where you can find links to all sorts of resources to not only help plan for your marriage, but also to enhance your married life and family life. Please encourage you to check that out. And if you like this episode, you want to hear more, go back through our listings of podcasts. We have, as we said, we're coming up on 100 episodes of On Mission. So there's 96 episodes behind us that you can check out. You can find them at CatholicApostolateCenterPodcast.com, which is our special podcast website that has all of our feeds. Or you can search for us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there. I would encourage you also to please go ahead and like, review, or subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you are going to review us, please give us a 5-star rating. It really helps us get the word out about our 96 episode, 97 episodes, and we would really love to get the word out to as many people as possible about what we're doing here. So if you liked us, like this episode, please share it with a friend or family member, and let them know to subscribe.